Okay, today is Monday, September 25th, and we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, and it's the countdown to Yom Kippur, 4 days to Yom Kippur. So, you know, some of these holidays, these high holidays, can be really hard on you physically. Most of the time, they're a lot of fun. Hanukkah's a lot of fun, Purim's a lot of fun, but this one coming up, Yom Kippur, that is the one. It's the Day of Atonement, or you could say at-one-ment, where we become one with God. I heard a neat way of putting it, that the 30 days of Elul, that is the dating period when God started dating Israel. Israel is the woman. And on Rosh Hashanah, which we just had last week, Rosh Hashanah is when he proposes and she says yes. And Yom Kippur is the wedding, so it only takes them 10 days to put together a wedding. And so that's the time period we're in right now, getting ready for the wedding. And after Yom Kippur, we have a big celebration that lasts 8 or 9 days. The kids are off from school. A lot of people come to Israel at this time for the big Sukkot, which we live out in the sukkah. We eat our meals out in the sukkah, and it's just a lots of parties during that time. But before we can get to Sukkot, we are preparing. There's 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that's where we're in right now. On Yom Kippur, it's a day of saying we're sorry. It's a very hard day physically because we don't eat for 25 or 26 hours. And about 12 of those hours we are in the shul. Our shul across the street is like a little bomb shelter, which a lot of them are. They're usually not that full, except this time of year people just come. For Rosh Hashanah, mothers came with their children because the children like to hear the shofar, which is a really neat thing. But we are packed in like sardines because so many people come, and you don't want to miss out on Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful day. It's a hard day physically, but it feels, I'm sure, like when people do marathons and you push yourself to a point where you want to quit several times. And by the time you get to the end, you're almost ecstatic. I remember this last year, that it's so hard physically to stand and pray for hours and hours and hours with no food and no water, and just asking God over and over and over for mercy for yourself, for Israel, for the world. But when it's all said and done, there's like just a elation, like you just feel just cleansed and pure and good, and just like I don't know, it's just one of the hardest days and one of the best days. And so this is, everyone wears white on this day. We're actually supposed to be like angels, and angels don't eat. So we don't eat. And a lot of people here on their wedding day, which Yom Kippur symbolizes the wedding day, a lot of people here fast on their wedding day. So this is the season that we're in now. And I was given by a friend of mine a book to read. And you know how some things that just get put into your hands at just the right time, it seems, or that you meet a person right at the right time, or you hear something, or just something is said on the radio, or you read something and you feel like the timing, like it wasn't a coincidence, like you were supposed to come across this person or this information at this time. And that's how I feel. I started reading a book. I'm almost finished with it. It's hard to put down. It's just a guy telling his story, but it's really speaking to me because it so happens that, he's a journalist for the New York Times, and he's an author, but he's telling the story of his childhood, and he goes back and he tells the story of his parents and his grandparents, and So I'm sitting outside. So I tried to find a quiet spot. So this guy that's telling the story, he is about my age and grew up in upstate New York, about an hour from where I grew up, so I can relate to so much of what he's saying. And the story is called Choosing My Religion. And what happened with him was that both of his parents were Jewish, but when they got into their 20s, they converted to Catholicism, and they got married, and they had 8 children, and he's the youngest of the 8. And so he's telling his story about what it was like growing up in that family, and how he never ever had an inkling that his mother was Jewish, and that he was Jewish. He never thought that he was until he, in his 20s, he met some Jewish people and told them his story and told them that he was raised Catholic. But when he told them that his mother was Jewish, he said, well, you may think that you're Catholic, but Hitler would never think you're Catholic, because when Hitler was seeking out Jews, they went back several generations. And so this was a new revelation to him, and he started just having an awakening in his soul about the relatives of his past, that somehow all of this way of life was not passed down to him. A different way of life was passed down to him. And so he was Shalom. He actually went to Poland, where his relatives were, and he went to where they keep all the records of marriages and births, and he found his relatives' names on his father's side and his mother's side, and saw that all of, you know, he was definitely Jewish, but that his mother had left her Judaism and his father had left his Judaism. They had both converted to Catholicism, and then they got married. So all of the ways of the Jews, all of the prayers, all of the holidays, all of that was never passed down to him. And he was just now discovering it as he was living in New York. He was working for the New York Times, and he was friends with Jewish people, and he was kind of embarrassed when he would go to the shul, and he didn't know anything, and he saw how fathers had passed stuff down to their sons, and he felt like jealous and irritated, almost, just that he was that he should have gotten this kind of this inheritance, like he should have known this stuff, and here he was at this stage in life and nothing had been passed to him. And so I was just really relating to everything that he was saying, because I grew up in that same area of upstate New York. My mother converted to Catholicism, and I was raised Catholic, and I have been on a journey, it feels like, since I was 12 or 14 years old, of just, I'm grateful that my parents didn't force religion on me, their religion on me. I was left to just find God and search for God myself and go on this journey, this lifelong journey of finding my own religion. And that's what he was doing. And I haven't finished the book yet, but I was just really amazed at his story and how it just, like in the book, I just read how he went to his first Rosh Hashanah service in the shul, and that's what I just did last week. And then he's talking about, okay, the next one coming up is Yom Kippur, and that's what I'm getting ready to do. And so it just, and I was raised Catholic in upstate New York, and I just have always had a feeling that I've always felt like a misfit in the Catholic Church. And then when I moved down to Texas and I was at Abilene Christian University, I didn't feel like I fit in there. And so I've been on this journey of wondering where I belong and why I feel like I don't belong in certain places. And when you look back over history and you see what was happening in the world in the 40s when my parents were young and growing up, and so it would have been my grandparents' generation that all of this hate came on the world. Jews have never been popular, or very few times in history have, maybe during the reign of King David or at the time of Moses in the Sinai Desert, but I mean there's been very few times in history that the Jews haven't been like the minority in whatever land they're living in. They've been in exile, and it's been very hard for Jews to, most of history, for them to not be persecuted in some way, but it seemed like it was extra, extra, extra horrible during the World War I and World War II with what happened. It's hard to talk about, it's hard to read about the atrocities that were done, like just the children being ripped from their mother, and just people treated in such inhumane ways that caused, and for no reason, just because they were living a lifestyle that had been passed down from generation to generation. It was like, it's not allowed, it's not okay, you cannot keep the Sabbath, you cannot wear that kippah on your head, you cannot have a menorah, you cannot have the mezuzah on your door, you cannot do anything Jewish. Once you do anything Jewish, do anything that's been passed down from your forefathers, you are spit on, you are despised, and then you are hauled off to these camps and murdered. And this is the kind of thing that was happening in my grandparents and this guy that's writing this book and his grandparents' generation. And so when people fled Europe and came to America, a lot of Jewish people changed their Jewish names and changed their first names and their last names, and just a lot of Jews, for the sake of not wanting to pass this horrible, what seemed like a horrible curse down to their children. Like, can you imagine having children and just because the children are born to you, they're automatically hated because their mother is Jewish and they can't get away from it. And so people were not knowing how to handle that intense anti-Semitism, and they were hiding their Jewishness. And so that's what this man's story was, that his parents just didn't talk about it. They didn't talk about the first 20 some years of their life. They just went forward and left all of the ways of Judaism behind. And so the story is just about him rediscovering his roots and making his own choices, asking questions, and he seems to be finding himself and finding his soul and his relationship with God as he starts doing more and more Jewish things and going to the shul and doing the holidays and learning the ways of the Jewish people. And so that's what I've been doing this week as we count down to Yom Kippur. It's usually it's a Sabbath, but you know, and on Sabbath we're commanded to eat three meals, Friday night and Saturday, two more meals on Saturday. So it's always a happy time. Like if you don't have meat all week or you don't have much to eat all week, you're really supposed to have chicken and fish and lots of good things to eat on Friday night and Saturday. Even the poorest people are supposed to always have that to look forward to. So, but it's this year, Yom Kippur falls on the Sabbath. It falls on Friday night and Saturday. So we, instead of having the Sabbath, we are going to be fasting and praying. And so that just happens like that sometimes. And Yom Kippur, I guess, trumps everything. It is the holiest day of the year. And the day where it's not one of those days where you really stay home and observe it by yourself or anything like that. We're supposed to go and be in unity with others and pray as one, pray as a group, and get our sins forgiven as individuals, but also as a whole, to pray for ourselves and for the whole world. And so it's a very, very, very important day. And then after that, we can get ready and start putting up our sukkahs and expect company, because a lot of people are coming into Israel for Sukkot and for all the partying that will take place after this wedding on Yom Kippur. All right, well, I thought you might want a little update on just what's going on right now in Israel, and that's there's all kinds of people here. I really tried to find a quiet spot, but I mean, it's lots and lots of visitors here right now, and just excitement in the air for the high holidays. So, Shana Tova!